Welcome to Configure It Done, the podcast where SAP leaders share real insights, proven strategies, and stories from front lines of major SAP transformations. Get inspired, get informed, let's get it done.
Welcome to the Configure It Done podcast. So I'm here with Frank Megliozzi. So Frank has over 30 years of SAP transformation experience. He's currently an SAP transformation lead. Welcome, Frank.
Thank you, Bethany. Thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, I'm really excited because the topic that we've chosen to speak about today is really timely. So we're going to be covering SDT. We've recorded a couple of podcasts recently around the do's and don'ts in S/4HANA. This is going to be part of that series. And one thing that a lot of the customers that I work with are really curious about is the differences between SDT, what it actually is in the first place as well, but the differences between SDT, greenfield, brownfield. There's a lot of confusion out there in the market, and it's led to a lot of analysis paralysis, if you will. I'm sure you've noticed the same thing. A lot of customers are having a lot of trouble making decisions around their SAP transformation Absolutely. Journeys. So with that in mind, can you break down the key differences between SDT, greenfield, and brownfield?
Definitely. There's huge differences, but I think we just start at the simplest, which is probably a brownfield. So traditionally, ECC version of SAP prior to S/4HANA, we did a lot of upgrades from one version to the other, and they were typically called technical upgrades. Functionality didn't change much. With that was termed a brownfield type upgrade. So similar to that, the move from ECC to S/4HANA with a brownfield approach is essentially a technical upgrade, it's quick and dirty, hence the brownfield sort of label, if you like. You get Yep. to reuse all of your processes and design, so there's no transformation there. There's very little scope for customizations in the changeover. All of your transaction history comes across, so there's no getting away from that because it is only technical. You're not addressing the data. The tools do all of that movement of data, so there is no opportunity to do that. I'd say it's probably the fastest and most cost-effective approach to getting a customer from ECC to S/4HANA, and therefore I think probably that's why a lot of the smaller SAP clients we're finding sort of gravitate towards that option. It is cheaper. I know a lot of the offshore system integrators do a lot of these sort of conversions, and it's quite straightforward because there's none of that need for business involvement or transformation. It's just really follow the bouncing ball to a degree. Not that easy, but you get the gist. So I think one of the biggest downsides is that you don't have that opportunity to redesign your processes. So how does that factor into justifying your business case? And I think we'll probably touch upon that in one of the other points I want to make later on. But I think the biggest challenges one would have is that you do need to undertake a lot of pre-projects. One such pre-project is the conversion of your clients and vendors and all of that sort of data in ECC to S/4HANA. It goes to a new model of addressing that sort of data called business partners. In the other approaches I'll talk about, that's done as part of the project. With a brownfield, you need to do a pre-project. So So that takes a lot of effort ahead of time, and it does change the way the users interact with the system, the way the company does business. So that's definitely a huge consideration. And what I touched upon is the data. You can't carve out any of your historical data. It all comes across the whole kit and caboodle. If that's a consideration, and it needs to be a consideration, because if you're moving to RISE or the latest flavor of that cloud ERP private, you will be charged. Your subscription will be based on your footprint, data footprint. So if that's huge, you're going to end up paying that subscription fee for that footprint ongoing until your contract ends, right? Or somehow you move that data out of your system, which is not easy once you move to RISE. So that's brownfield.
My understanding is that it can be difficult as well, from my understanding, to actually downgrade your subscription costs once you've locked that in and paid for it. Even once you start to siphon, filter data out or what have you, you've already paid for that subscription.
Correct.
So there's almost no point.
And look, customers do have the option of doing pre-projects to archive data out, but typically what I've found is a lot of customers, the general programs that are available in the system to do that are really slow. And trying to churn through, if you've been running for 10, 15 years and you just want to keep, as an example, 7 years worth of data, trying to get rid of a seven plus years before that takes forever, unless you've been doing it ongoing and you've been rigorous around that process. It becomes almost impossible to do as a pre-project. So you're kind of stuck. So that's the wart, I think, the biggest wart in going forward with a brownfield approach.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Yeah. So one thing I've heard is that SDT is often used in mergers, acquisitions, but also upgrades and transformations. Can you share a real-world example where SDT played a really crucial role in actually streamlining a project?
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think. There's definitely a few selections to go through, but some of the clients, so streamlining processes, like if I talk about some of the major projects I've undertaken, been involved in, Coles, we did an SDT approach as an example. Theirs was more about getting them onto a new platform. But what we found is because they were heavily involved and they had a lot of businesses once upon a time, the likes of Kmart or Target and so forth, all of that data remained in their system. So they had a huge footprint. At the time we did that, RISE wasn't available yet, so they moved to a hyperscaler cloud provider for their infrastructure. And so cost was definitely a concern for them. So what we did as part of that project, we actually carved out all those company codes that weren't required and left behind all the older data. Anything younger than 7 years we kept, but all that older data and all the data relative to the companies they'd sold off, that was left behind. And they kept that old system as a reference system, but they didn't bring all of that baggage forward. That was definitely one of those cases.
How did you go about having that conversation with Coles? Because one thing I found is that a lot of my clients are nervous to lose any data whatsoever, just in case.
Yeah. Look, I think it's one of the early cases, and Coles were pretty generally switched on in this area. They've been running SAP for a long time. So they chose to keep running those legacy systems. So it wasn't a big issue for them. The amount of times they needed to go back and reference anything older than 7 years or anything relative to those companies they'd sold off, they could always go back to that legacy system. But other clients, we found that archiving that data to cheaper platforms, cloud storage solutions, offers an option to still keep access to that data, but not at the same premium you would pay if it was sitting in an SAP footprint in RISE, for example, right? And I know even SNP, who is one of the SDT vendors, very well known, they provide archiving solutions for data so that the data is made to look like you're accessing an ECC system, so you can access it in the cloud. It's not quite an SAP system, but it looks and feels like it, and you can report on that data.
So there's options, basically. There's always an option.
There's plenty of options. I think there needs to be a commitment, and this needs to be built into the strategy to understand, you know, the full roadmap. You're not just considering that that S/4HANA move. You're considering the whole ecosystem. What are you doing with your data that's older? What are you doing about all the allied systems? Whether you've got BW, you've got PIPO as a legacy system, what are you doing with all your customizations? Are you keeping those ongoing, or are you adapting standard processes? All of that plays a part and needs to be considered as part of the strategy. And I'm finding very often, because of the feeling out there that companies are being pressured to move to S/4HANA, they're doing the minimum viable product to get them there so that they can appease that requirement from SAP. But that leaves them no better off, and I think it's almost like a sunk cost. How do you justify that as a business case? What improvements is a business going to get? Functionality, standard processes. But what are you doing? Then they've got ongoing issues. What are you doing with business warehousing and your reporting? You've got disparate systems, and you're having to report across all these disparate systems and this new shiny one that you put over here but doesn't actually offer you more than what you had before.
I think that's an issue that isn't being spoken about often enough as a business case stage, because again, this is what we keep hearing from the market, is there's a lot of disagreement between executives at any one company around what strategy to do. And brownfield comes up because it's the cheapest option. But then because there's no actual significant transformation, it feels like a kicking the can down the road a little bit. So it sounds like SDP provides the best of both worlds and gives you options for actual transformation.
Absolutely. Look, brownfield we touched upon. Greenfield is something that was way back in 2000s and before that was the flavor of the month. It typically takes you longer than an SDT project, you know, 18 months to 3 years typically. It has the most transformational capability in terms of transforming the way you're going to run your enterprise resource planning system, but it comes also that cost because of the timeline. I think this is where SDT, you're given the option of transforming your system at your pace, what you want to transform now, creating that platform, solid platform foundation for the future changes and innovations, and leaving behind what you don't want to bring across, right? All that data and customizations you can leave behind. But it sits in between. Cost-wise, it's probably exactly in between. Timeline-wise, a project is typically anywhere from Coles we did under 6 months. There was another one, Land Registry Services in New South Wales. We did 5 months, I think. And then the other one, Fortescue Metals Group over in Perth, we did that in 9 months. But their transformation was huge. They needed a lot of changes to their system, and they had also, I think at that stage, joint venture accounting as one of the things they wanted to put in place. So there's a lot of transformation, but it comes at that extra cost because the timeline is a lot longer than brownfield. But I'm finding that all of that adds into the business case. So it's not like I'm being forced to get there and there's no benefit. I'm being forced to get there. It might cost a bit more. It might be slightly longer than a brownfield. But guess what? You're justifying the business case. You're getting innovation at the end of it. It does come with some business change, and so change is a strong factor in all of these projects we're finding, but nowhere near a greenfield, which is, you know, 2 to 3 years, some of them.
Absolutely. And what about, so you touched on, so timelines, cost implications as well of SDT. What about resource requirements? How does that look compared to brownfield or greenfield?
So one extreme, brownfield, it's a technical upgrade. All you need is technical people. that very little business involvement, very little functional resources from the SIs generally, very little change, because at the end of the day, and this is what we found with, I think, one of the brownfield projects we did, we went live and the users didn't notice any difference on the Monday morning, right? So there's very little change there too, right? The little change to the training. There were a few screens that needed to be changed, forced to be changed because they were going to Fiori. With SDT, it depends on your appetite. What I have used in the past is this dial where, if you can picture a dial 180 degrees, on the leftmost side, you have a brownfield, no change. Then up the scale, up that dial, you have the needle moves up and you have maybe a foundational change with an SDT. Minimal business involvement, but there is some level of change. And you can almost get to a similar level of change as a greenfield, but that comes at a cost and timeline. And that's where a lot of more functional resources, technical resource, change management, SMEs from the business is critical. And it's those SMEs, if your organization doesn't have SMEs that are can be dedicated to these programs, you're setting yourself up for failure. You've got to make sure you've got the in-house capability and knowledge that IP hasn't gone out the door to undertake that level of transformation.
Yes, thank you. Somebody said it. Yes, I've seen a few where either everything is done completely in-house or everything is completely outsourced to the SI. And either way, it can be really disastrous, because if you're doing everything in-house, the chances of you having all of the right knowledge, capabilities, the right leadership is very slim. And if you outsource everything, then no matter how good the SI is, they're still walking away with the IP. And so if you don't have anything internally, there's no way to utilize the system properly once they're gone.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think that's a double-edged sword. If you've got everything in-house, great. You have the people who know have the IP. The challenge with that is that, are they willing to change? It's a huge change. Yeah. Are they willing to come on that journey? Equally, I think if you're relying on an external SI because you've run really skinny for a long time because your system's just kept up and running, then your costs are going to be exorbitant, because the SI is going to come across and understand what you're doing, how you're doing it, how the business is using the system, and then translate to what that future state may look like. And that's going to come at the cost of them resourcing all of that planning that goes ahead of that. The challenge with that is that at the one extreme, if you have a strong SME base, they may want the world. So the transformation may be huge, and sometimes it's going to be challenging to, they'll bite off more than they can chew, right? And that has an effect on the success or otherwise of the project. But if you have an SI that does all of that, they may want to get you just across the line and not consider all aspects of your business, all the effects of this transformation on the rest of your business. So I think there's that happy middle ground somewhere. But I think each of those stakeholders have different interests. So it's always going to be challenging.
Absolutely. I agree. All right, we'll do a slight history lesson for the audience here, because I found more and more, a lot of my customers know what SDT is, but there's still a lot that have no idea what I'm talking about when I drop the name. So how did SDT actually come to be? What were the key drivers behind its development, and how has it evolved over the last several years?
Yeah, sure. So SDT started life with SAP. One of their earlier products that they used to split out SAP systems and the like was called SLO. Selective something optimized. So I can't even recall it. It was so long ago. But from that grew this selective data transition, which SAP undertook in the early days. They then formed an alliance with four German companies. CBS is one of them, Naturgen is the other, The other one was DataVard, and the final one was SMP. DataVard was subsequently purchased by SMP, but it started life as a tool to extract, divide up data from an SAP system, or merge data into an SAP system where you had companies being acquired or divested. Right, that was the primary aim. From that, SAP moved out of that space. They don't do too much in that space nowadays. They have come up with other offerings, but the three companies are prominent in a lot of these projects are Naturvion, CBS, and SNP. That tool was then harnessed to migrate, and it's essentially a data migration tool, right? It was harnessed to migrate systems from ECC to S/4HANA because it is the data does change. It's a different data model, and so it was used for that purpose. And so they've refactored this tool to do the migrations from ECC to S/4HANA because it's primarily data driven migration.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So if we can get even more practical with SDT, what are some of the most common pitfalls that companies should be looking out for when they're actually implementing SDT? And do you have any suggestions for best practices to make it a really smooth transition?
Sure. It's plenty just knowing where to start.
How to narrow it down.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of pitfalls, I think knowing what you're undertaking, that dial I mentioned earlier, knowing where you are on that dial, what level of transformation you're willing to take, and the implications of that. The more transformation, the more change, the longer the program, the more the cost. Yes, the more the benefit, but also the more risk, right?
Yes.
The less transformation, less risk, harder to justify business case, right? Pitfalls, I think when companies are unwilling to, I think with SDT, look at trimming their systems, their footprint, definitely where they have concurrent projects underway, that affect the projects, or they've got developments in their current system that they're ongoing, forever changing. That has an effect on the SDT program. It would have an effect on the brownfield program too, for that matter. Having said that, we at FMG Fortescue Metals Group, there was another project underway which was merged into the SDT program as well. It can be done. It just has an effect on the timeline and the risk profile, I think. Ensuring that scope is clear. I think we touched upon it earlier, knowing that you have knowledgeable business resources available. The more transformation, the more knowledgeable resources you need to have available from the business. There needs to be a concerted effort to focus on data migration. It's not just an upgrade. You flick the switch, you've got a version 2.0 of your superbike, right? It's the data is key. One, how much data do you want to bring across? What is the quality of that data? How does that data make sense going forward in the S/4HANA model, data model, right? All of that then feeds into downstream. What am I able to report on? It's all dependent on the data you bring across. So the focus on should be pretty high on the data conversion and making sure that the data that's coming from ECC, and you may have a data model in ECC that is being customized over the years, right? How does that fit into the standard S4 data model? Because that's, you can confirm all of those rules and get the data across, but how you get it across and how it's represented in your store in S4 will mean a great deal to how you can report on that data, massage it and provide it for reporting purposes in SAC as an example.
That makes it. Well, I was actually going to say it almost sounded like in the beginning of the conversation, like so much of whether you do brownfield, greenfield or SDT has to do with just appetite for business case and budget. But actually, it sounds like it's quite layered and there are reasons to go with or not an SDT approach.
Look, we're finding finance transformation is huge. If you've got an antiquated approach and business process around finance and your organization's obviously moved on, but you've got this legacy system that's kind of hanging together with some sticky tape, right? And you're making it and it's been customized to adopt a new way of doing finance business processes, then that is a big plus in terms of justifying why you would go to SDT. EAM is the other one. Asset management is critical. It's forever changing. New business processes are being adopted there. If you've got an old system ECC, it's not quite modern enough to cater for all the new ways of doing things. I think one that we're seeing starting to emerge now is being able to go to S4 with your data in such a state that it lends itself to a lot of the AI use cases that are becoming available in SAP, right? We're talking about Joule and we're talking about Copilot and we're talking ChatGPT, all of these, and Joule is SAP's own one, but it harnesses the data in your, all AI uses data. It harnesses data, and if the quality of your data in your S4 target solution is poor, then the AI is only going to do as much as it can with that data, right? So to a degree, I think we're a little bit still immature in terms of the business cases in SAP that we can use Joule and other AI tools for. But I think that is underpinned by the quality of the data you bring across. So you're setting yourself up for failure if you think you bring everything across as is, and we'll look at it later because it's going to take you a lot of time later to look at it, and you're going to be behind the eight ball with AI and other innovations that are coming.
I'm so excited about Joule and the AI innovation because it's only just this year after speaking with mostly SA Power Networks. I've got a couple of other clients looking at it too, but where they're actually talking about doing an upgrade to RISE. Because there's actual innovation to be had, because they're excited about it, not because they feel like they must due to end of life support. So I'm excited about the future of SAP. We're getting there.
We're getting there. It's challenging because it's quite interesting things that I'm sort of picking up on the change in the subscription models that SAP is pushing. Some of these innovations were given for free earlier on, and now they're repackaging things, obviously because they're starting to see customers starting to see value, right? And so as they're starting to see value, SAP are obviously, like all vendors, putting it out there at a premium because obviously it's providing benefit to the customer. But it's forever changing, and I've set up a working group internally to look at not only the technical side of SAP AI, but also all the use cases across in all the functional areas. I think we've got to be able to get to a point where we understand the business cases where we can use AI in SAP. But again, back to data. Data is critical. If we don't have that quality of data in your S4 platform, forget about reporting, forget about AI.
Absolutely. Data is number one. Frank, thank you so much. You've got a whole host and wealth of knowledge in this space, and it's becoming a more and more frequent topic of conversation. So thank you so much for coming on and telling us about SDT.
It's been a pleasure, and I can go on forever, but hopefully this has provided some value to our audience.
No, this is brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you.